This is Matt Casalo with the RhinestoneWorld.com.
Richard Greaves with ScreenMaking.com.
This is Stacy Marshall with Printwear Magazine.
Brian Walker with RTP Apparel.
And you're listening to Two Regular Guys
Podcast. Hosted by Aaron Montgomery and Terry Combs.
Keep on listening.
All right. Well, welcome into the show. It is Friday, June 4th, 2021. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at oursuccessgroup.com. Today, Terry and I are going to be talking about time management tips. So excited. I rolled right in, didn't waste a single second, got here right on time or right after time. So anyhow, hopefully I'll learn something today. But now looking forward to this, Terry. I actually just completed a training on this over inside of our success group for our members. And it was awesome. I really enjoy, you know, you and I both are what's time management nerds, let's call it that, right?
Exactly.
You know, so we want to talk today about kind of mastering that art of how the heck am I going to get all this done? So I'm excited to kind of share some of these concepts that we got to talk about on Wednesday night. And I want to get Terry's take on that and figure out, you know, what I did right and what I did wrong. So
absolutely. You know, it's funny, before we went on, you had a computer restart going, and right up until the 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock my time era period. And I was saying to Eric, hey, so you said you watched this, this video, and he goes, I only got halfway through so far. I said, well, I can interview you. We'll get down halfway through the outline and you can go, that's all I know.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad that poor Eric didn't have to be put on the spot for that. So we made it. Let's talk to some of the regulators here real quick. We've got TC checking in from Kansas City. Good morning. And Cindy, good morning to you. Gusta checking in from Sweden. Appreciate that. And Christine, good morning to you. Thanks for being here. And I feel like when Christine says good morning, gentlemen, she should probably put the gentleman in quotes. Don't you think that would be more appropriate?
So yeah. She probably was air quoting when she was typing it.
Nice. And good morning to Todd and Alan. Thanks for being here, sir. Eric in the comments, behind the scenes as usual, making things tick, making us look good, all of those kinds of things. So, Todd says, Terry's Dr. Pepper joke really has some legs. Core sent me a message from Punta Cana asking what it was so she could tell it. So this is being told internationally now. So
yeah, it's an excellent swim up bar joke.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, I've got another groaner coming up for you, so we'll see if this one's got some legs. Definitely. And Crystal, thanks for tuning in from Maine. And hi Jimmy and Aaron, I think maybe Terry.
is Jimmy Lamb taking over here?
I don't know.
You haven't had a chance to tell me yet?
Yeah. Shoot, Terry, I meant to have this conversation off air, but
the only person I know in the industry who talks more than I do is Jimmy Lamb.
Nice. Mo checking in this morning as well. So appreciate everybody checking in. And Christine did share a kind of hard to air quote and type, Terry.
True enough.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you guys being here. And Jeff, hello. Thanks for being here. All right, Terry. Well, let's talk a little news here before we get into talking time management.
Yeah, you know, my news item, Aaron, is really more of an observation than news. We were doing some Netflix binge watching over Memorial Day weekend. So since it was Memorial Day, my choice was to rewatch Band of Brothers. So we watched Emily in Paris. Apparently my vote did not count at all. if you haven't seen it, Emily in Paris, it's basically Sex in the City for a new generation based in Paris. But you know, as we're watching, I started thinking, oh my gosh, this is kind of profound what they're talking about here, because the premise is Emily last minute gets a position in Paris, doesn't speak French. She did say, I did Rosetta Stone on the flight over, but it didn't take yet. but she's there to basically help this marketing company based in Chicago, but in Paris. And she's supposed to be there to help get them involved in social media and things like that. And you start watching the people at the agency and their clients and how resistant they are. And I thought, you know, this is just like right now today, when we talk about people getting involved in social media, you know, you've got to be there interacting with customers and things like that. And the resistance that she gets from people, basically, you know, we're kind of too classy for this, or our business is too mature for this, or our business is more special than this. And I thought, man, it's a perfect parallel. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Like I said, Sex and the City. Band of Brothers would have been better, but you know, I've seen it like five times. but go back and watch it again and look at it through those eyes of how is this just like my industry? Because it really is. Yeah. Observation more than news.
Oh, that's cool. No, that's a good point. And way to make the best out of it, Terry, of not being able to watch Band of Brothers. I appreciate you doing that. So, all right, good. Jerry said bad eyes. My apologies. Yeah, no problem, Jerry. Thanks for giving us something to laugh and tease and joke about. So that's always... That's what we like to do here on Two Regular Guys. So, news for me recently came across an article posted in Graphics Pro magazine. It's a really great article on some of the supply chain woes that people have seen or are seeing or will continue to see. I actually saw a news article just yesterday of the 3 miles long worth of containers waiting to be loaded up at a port in China. And ships were just passing up the port because they were just, there was no room to even dock there. Crazy how much and China's kind of being hit by another round of COVID right now. So, and Lenny, there we go. Lenny was in this article, several great people. Lenny actually did a fantastic video right at the top of it. So you can check out his take on it. My friend and co-founder in our success group, Todd Downing, was in the article too. And I wanted to share one of his quotes with you guys real quick. He's talking about being transparent with the customers. And he said this, we told them about the shutdown overseas, the ships sitting in ports, import companies working at 1/4 of the staff, and how all that meant we just didn't know anything. But as soon as we could, we would. And he kind of continues on and says, you know, customers we were able to serve in these tumultuous times are happy and thankful. The customers we couldn't help understood due to the full transparency. So you can read more about it. Eric's put it up there. It's bit.ly, bit.ly/GP supply, and go check that out. Watch the video that Lenny did and get some of the information. I think it's just interesting. I think here for a bit, you know, I hope that it levels out and I hope that the supply chain gets their arms around things. I think, and Terry, I'd love to get your take on this, but I know, you know, supply chain problems are certainly challenging. We all have to kind of deal with it in this, you know, don't go out and hoard toilet paper kind of idea. But at the same time, you know, from a supply chain, from the people, on the supply chain side of things, the distributors and things like that, I think there's some opportunities here, but they have to think with their hearts and their empathy and their desire to help the customer and not so much with their wallets right now. I guess is my take on this. This is an opportunity. You know, if you spend a little extra money, you don't worry so much about the profit margins and instead worry about taking care of your customers. I think that will, in the long run, go a long ways to solidifying your relationships with your customers, while at the same time, getting you some future business that maybe you wouldn't have. You know, you'll be able to, maybe somebody was entrenched with another supplier and just always did business with them, but they can't, you know, show up. They don't have the product, that kind of thing. So an opportunity to win some new business. But again, I think it comes down to suppliers, all of us really have to kind of start thinking with our hearts and our desire to build a relationship with our customers and less about, you know, how do I squeeze every last dime out of this thing? So what's your take on that?
You know, Aaron, when you were giving Todd's quote about communicating with the customers. How many times on this show have you said, hey, as soon as you see there's going to be an issue, as soon as you realize that you're not going to be able to deliver on time, call the customer today. Don't yep. wait until the day of and say, hey, by the way, we're not going to be able to do that, because yep. you're putting off the pain. If you, just like Todd said there, if you communicate with your customers, then, hey, they may not be thrilled that they're not getting a product, but at least they know, and you're not blindsiding them. And it's so easy to put off the bad news, but so much better for everyone when you do that. Yeah. And you know, Aaron, it's everything. It's not just hoodies. It's not just, look at heat presses, look at conveyor dryers, 8 weeks out. And I think a lot of that is based on one part. We're trying to get one part from Japan or China or whatever. One thing that we do at Equipment Zone, and I say we gratuitously because I have nothing to do with it, but it's just like heat presses. So, hey, we sell basically one heat press. So we just keep ordering them, and they're going through the chain. The machines we ordered 4 or 5 weeks ago are arriving now for customers who ordered yesterday, it kind of takes an investment on your part as well to be able to prepare yourself when you know that you're going to have delays like that. Sometimes you have to make that investment to keep everybody happy. But gosh, everybody you talk to is looking for something. Hey, do you know where I can buy XYZ? We're all in the same boat.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely, Terry. And like you said, as soon as in fact, Jerry said I just had to do that yesterday, call a client to tell them I could not hit their deadline, just hated it. They were understanding and thankful, right? Yeah, so tell the truth early. And we're talking about it from that regard. But, the same thing has to happen from the suppliers on back to, people up the chain too, right? We need to be communicating. We need to be reaching out to our partners and like you said, in making the investment in, let's make sure that our customers are taken care of and not, I don't know. I just always get this sense that especially some of the bigger distributors and manufacturers out there, it's, these things, they sometimes will use these situations as, to me, excuses for just piss poor customer service, and this, COVID. Okay, great. That happened a long time ago and you're still doing crappy customer service because of COVID. I get it, right? It's hard to hire people. Everybody knows all of the problems. That's my, let me jump on the soapbox here. Everybody knows all of the problems. What I'm looking for are who wants to come up with some solutions? Who's going to do the thing that maybe isn't the most popular or maybe isn't the most lucrative right now today to be part of the solution, not point out all of the problems. So, and as Kevin points out here, he says container costs went from 5,000 to 20,000 and this cost has to be passed on. Totally understandable. I mean, yes, costs are going to go up. And so you, as decorators, you've got to be communicating with your customers right now too, saying, hey, these things are happening. Shipping prices from UPS and FedEx continue to go up while the level of service continues to go down. It's all of those kinds of things. So, we're all going to have to figure that out a little bit. And if we get ourselves stuck in this, it's all about being the lowest cost or making the most profit and all this other stuff. I think you're swimming up the wrong stream right now. I think it needs to be about how you can best serve your customers. You make sure that you value what you do, and that people are paying for it. I mean, these are, we talk all the time, Terry, about, people need to go raise their prices. Well, now you've got some quote unquote excuses to do that, right? You've got $5,000 to $20,000 on a container and some other things like that.
Well, and look at equipment, if you sell equipment that comes in a crate every month, you get a new update. Here's the new crating costs. Here are the new crating costs. Here are the new crating costs. They're going through the roof because the cost of lumber, but you're right too about the whole, it's COVID. Oh, that didn't deliver on time. It's COVID. I misspelled Alabama on your shirt. COVID.
Call it. Yeah. All right. I want to come back and get a couple more of the regulars' comments here, Terry. I know we've got other things to talk about, but that happened and came across, and the fact that we've got.
And we have time for it. It's time management.
It's time management.
We're managing our time here.
We've left plenty of time, or we are allowed to go into a bonus time. So, all right. So, and the fact that we've got some folks here that were part of this article and whatnot. Lenny says it's unique times for sure. So definitely appreciate the feedback in there. Donna says, good morning from Orcas Island, Washington. Communication with suppliers and clients. And Lenny follows that up with transparency is key. Sue says, Richardson Caps says August. And on another note, they can use watch. Okay. I'm going to just leave that one because I'm not following it. Terry, can you decipher it?
Let's see. It's gone off the screen now.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. Well,
Richland Cap say August. And on another note, the cam we use to watch our... No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see. The cam we use to watch our dogs. Got it. Okay. So yeah, just it's basically everything across the board. Like you said, Terry, it's not just hoodies. It's not just, you know, there's parts and pieces here. So, all right. Ashley says, I have several to contact today. Size colors are selling out faster than I can keep the options updated. Yeah. Ordering from 10 different locations and stuff like that. I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, I think this is a huge opportunity for people that are looking to solve problems when it comes to managing the supply chain. You know, how do we make sure that we've got the right product in the right places? And this is going to cause some disruption and people are going to have to like start figuring out a different way to do business. I think for way too long, they've relied on the fact that we're looking to do business at the way to cut costs. But I think company after company is proving out there that if you get off the how do I cut all my costs and instead how do I best serve my customers, that you can actually become more profitable than the cost cutters out there. So Let's see here. Dean says, what used to take 15 minutes to order now takes almost 2 hours trying to find everything. Yep, challenges for sure. Lenny, UPS can't deliver anything on time. Not UPS, United States Postal Service. Yeah, I can't wrap my head around who decided that basically allowing UPS and FedEx to just dump stuff on them at like rock bottom prices. Yeah, the fact that I can ship something FedEx that ends up going through the Postal Service cheaper than I could if I just went directly to the Postal Service. How does that work, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So somebody has some ties in there that just really took advantage of poor Postal Service, and they have not been able to manage.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, what else do we got here? Shandy says honesty and quality will outweigh all. And Ramona, good point here, says transitioning to the new normal. We are in a period of evolution in acquisition. So, oh, Christine, come on. You got to give us some. She says, I'm not sure that bonus time counts as time management. Just saying. We've planned ahead, right? We've automatically added 30 extra minutes into our show just in case. That's time management. That's right.
Who knows? Maybe we'll end on time. We will.
Yes. Oh boy. So yeah, Todd says those that will educate their customers on what's going on will be better off. And Lenny says, Todd, you are so correct. So all right, guys. Gusta, you are absolutely 100% right here. We need a dad joke. Right after we get Eric's comment here. He says, this is the one place where I've used in-house patch production for customers. Self-serve decoration in a pinch doesn't fix everything, but options that serve the customer can help. There you go. So just, yeah, getting creative and using, you know, something you might not have normally done. You can make a patch in-house, for example, in that case. So there you go. All right.
All about the patches, right, Eric?
It's all about the patch. Is that, Patrick, is that Patrick. His rap version? Is that it's all about? Okay. I almost went there, Eric. Sorry. But as Gusta says, it's dad joke time. Let's get to the dad joke. Terry, are right. you ready?
I'm ready. Let's hear it.
Your Dr. Pepper one was hard to top, but I'm going to give it a shot here. And I did have help from my 10-year-old. In fact, he told this the other day and I forgot to write it down. So I went into his room this morning and said, hey, remember that dad joke you told something? He goes, yep, got it. And I'm like, okay, here we go. So what is a walrus's favorite type of gum?
I don't know. What is a walrus's favorite type of gum?
Blubber gum.
Oh my gosh, your son is a dad in a 10-year-old body.
he totally is. Yeah, we're driving back from having some dinner with my dad and my aunt, and the 15-minute car ride was basically 15 minutes of different dad jokes. So it was awesome.
Generations of dads telling jokes.
Yep, exactly. It was great. So, all right, Terry, well, let's keep moving here.
All right. Hey, before we go any further, Aaron, we want to thank everyone for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. We are always looking for new guests. If you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2, Regular Guys with your show ideas. We love to have new guests. And if you've never been on the show before, we'd love to get you on and talk about a subject of your interest. If you're listening to the podcast version of the show, we would appreciate you sharing the Two Regular Guys with your industry friends so they can become regulators too. We would appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or wherever you do your podcast listening. If you are watching us live right now, please join in with your comments and questions and reach out to your industry friends so they can join us today too.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely want to get everybody in here and have this opportunity. Great feedback and comments already from the regulators. So just a community of learning and supporting and commiserating at times. But, you know, we will get through the supply chain issues. And you know, like we've just all talked about here, it's all about just being transparent, being right. honest early. And Terry, you mentioned that right at the start there. So appreciate that. All right. Well, Terry, before we get into time management, you know, I mean, we're 25 minutes in, we should get to this, right? Time management. Let's hear a word from one of the sponsors that we're getting support from all of the trade show folks this year. We're supporting them and they're getting back to live trade shows. So let's hear from Printing United today.
2021 is the year of big changes, and the Printing United Expo dares you to think bigger for the future. As the unpredictable and uncertain events of the past year caused us all to reevaluate our businesses, the Printing United Expo is here to help you discover solutions for your apparel business. Taking place this October 6th to the 8th in Orlando, Florida, the Expo is set to host more than 1 million square feet of printing greatness. A cornerstone of this year's Expo will be the Apparel Zone, a space designed specifically for decorators to connect and learn from one another. A key part of this year's zone is an e-commerce-driven direct-to-garment area where you can design and print your own Expo-themed shirt. E-commerce played such a critical role in supporting the decorating community during the pandemic, and we wanted to be sure to bring the latest in front-end and DTG solutions right to you. When in Orlando, be sure to meet up with your colleagues at the Zone's Cafe and Beer Garden. Stop by early to fuel up with some fresh coffee to sip as you walk the show floor, or head over in the afternoon to relax with some friends. And don't forget to swing by the podcast stage to hear from industry experts as they join some of your favorite podcasters for live interviews with the Two Regular Guys, Print and Promo, Promo Marketing, and more. Register today at printingunited.com.
Wow, I was going to comment, and the Two Regular Guys will be there, but it was in their commercial. Awesome.
Yes. The Two Regular Guys will be there. We're excited to be there podcasting live and having all sorts of fun at the Apparel Zone. And so, Terry, make sure that you guys are getting there to sign up for that. A registration is now open for Printing United. So check that out. And we will, see you all there. Eric says podcast listeners get a quick techno break, but there's actually, there's actually a podcast version. So you actually would have just heard all of the things that the video listeners saw on the screen. So the joys of being able to edit the podcast these days.
Well, you know, I'm glad Eric noted that because that never crossed my mind.
It was noted after the first time, and I said, "Hey, by the way, guys." So, anyways,
you know what the podcast is, right?
Yeah. Well, we asked for a video, and we got a video, right? And then, by the way. So, real quick, Christine says, when talking about being guests on the show, she says, being on the show is fun. The guys are good hosts. I definitely encourage all the women I know to be on the show, get our voices out there. So yeah, we're always, like Terry said, we're always looking for new guests. We're always looking for new conversations. If you have any inclination that maybe you just want to be on the show, or you know somebody that should be on the show, you know, just reach out to us, info@tworegularguys.com. Maybe you want to be on the show, but you don't know what to talk about. We can bounce some topic ideas off of each other. So yeah, that's way it goes. These shows kind of come up and just topics at hand. So even if you're not ready to be a guest, let us know who you want to hear from, and we'll work to get them on the show. Or you can just send them to that link. That Calendly link is the best place to do that. So, in fact, bit.ly/2RGguest, which Eric always making things go smoothly. So, Eric says, we only have that for GPX, not for Pru. Sorry, I know I'm not supposed to be reading the private comments, Eric, but newsflash, I did actually get the podcast version from him too, Eric. I just didn't share it over here. I edited in later, so poor Eric's got plenty to do. I don't need to dump more stuff on him. All right, Eric says, got to get ready. Have a great rest of the show. Great topics. Thanks, Alan. Enjoy. Hopefully you guys have a great show as well. All right, Terry. So should we talk some time management here finally? Well, we are at 10:30 after all.
Let's talk a little time management. Let's jump in. So I'm not going to do your bio.
Oh, okay. I forgot to put that in there anyhow. So,
all right. Well, let's start at the beginning. What's the first step in improving your time management?
Yeah. And Terry, this is interesting that this is our first place to start too, because I can't remember exactly when it was, but you know, you and I love talking about time management. And I think we just were bringing up the fact that we were doing this show. And you talked about the fact that you did that program where you just had a notepad and every 15 minutes you wrote down what it is that you're working on. And so I think the first step is really that just being aware, having that awareness of what the heck are you actually doing all day? You know, we think we're doing the things that we need to be doing, but until you actually take the time to write it down, do a time study. You know, I mean, those of you that do this in your production facility, right? You do a time study of how long it takes you to get things done. This is the exact same thing with what you do throughout the day is your personal time, you know. And I would go so far as to, you know, just look at, you know, things outside of the work. You know, when I done this, I actually calculated the entire 24 hours as close to tracking everything that I could for a full solid week, and just getting an understanding, right? I mean, we've got 168 hours in a week. And so what are you doing with that 168 hours? And, you know, you've got to sleep, you got to eat, you got to have some family time, all this other stuff. But how do you fill in the rest of that? Right. You know, some people go, oh, you know, I don't need that much sleep. Well, yeah, I actually do. So make sure that you're, you know, scheduling the 7-8 hours of time that you need, not scheduling, like you got to put on your calendar, but realize that out of your 168 hours, you know, 60 some odd of that is probably going to be sleeping and eating. Right. I think that's the first thing, Terry, is just to do that time study. There's lots of different ways to do it. I love your take and how you did that. In fact, just while we're in it, would you explain that one more time for the listeners that missed that?
Yeah, absolutely. And what you do is this, and you just have your workday blocked out in 15-minute increments. And every 15 minutes, you got to go over there and write down what you're doing. And it doesn't have to be a paragraph, Eric. but just maybe scheduling or troubleshooting on the floor, or ordering, you know, that instead of taking 15 minutes, it took 2 hours, ordering product. It's mind blowing, Aaron, at the end, because then you categorize everything. I spent 60% of my time ordering or looking for products. I spent 10% of my time doing this. And you know, we make a lot of assumptions about what we're doing with our time, but once you write it down, it's really mind-blowing about, you know, what you actually spend your time doing. And in my particular case, the first time I ever did this, I realized that I was spending more time scheduling production than I was spending managing or improving or educating in production. So I hired a part-time person to just do all the scheduling, and it's a pretty simple formula that I use. And so I had a mom who would work during school time, and she would come in and do all the scheduling, and it freed up more than half of my week to do really what I thought I should be doing instead. So get out there and figure out what you're doing, and you'll be surprised. I guarantee you.
Yeah. And again, that surprise, this is not a like, oh my God, I'm not getting enough done, or, you know, a way to like kind of flog yourself for your quote unquote lack of time management. It has nothing to do with that. It if we're not aware of it, we cannot make any adjustments or changes. And so people go, well, I just don't have time to even do that. Well, guess what? You don't have time to not do that, right?
Exactly.
You need to be aware of what it is that you're doing. And so, yeah, logging it like that in 15-minute increments, and then categorizing it, you know, or using tools. Allie Banholzer has been inside of our success group helping with some things on production workflow and things like that. And she uses a system called Timular, where it's actually a little physical cube that you, 8-sided cube. You put on there the different things that you could be doing, you know, whether that's ordering, hooping, you know, all the different things. And then every time you turn that cube over, it basically is logging that time. And then when you go on to the next project, you turn the cube to the next thing. And so that's, you know, just whatever it is that you want to do. But, you know, I would say, Terry, my thought on this is a minimum of a week of getting that data. Oh, yeah. You know, if you're first starting out, maybe a couple of weeks is worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Because everyone goes, well, this week was different. This was unique. Was it?
Yeah, exactly. It feels like that. But yes, on the grand scheme of things, over the course of time, that is going to be the way things go. And then the other thing, I guess, inside of that, Terry, real quick, is even if you're a time management pro, I think you still need to do that from time to time. You know, maybe it's annually, or maybe it's every twice a year or something like that, because things do change and whatnot. So anyhow, so that's where we're at on that. Jerry says you keep freezing. I haven't heard anybody else have any issues. It looks like everything's going okay on this side. So internet is always fun. So check it out.
All right. Well, let's talk about a subject that everybody hates. Let's talk about email.
Yeah.
You know, like it or not, Aaron, it's still the main business communication tool. So what's your email strategy?
Yeah. And I think that's funny. You know, a topic that people hate. It's, I don't know. Yeah. Some people feel like it's a scourge. I'm actually one of those people, and Terry might actually hate email because of me, but I love email. I think email is a fantastic tool. I prefer it over most communication methods for a couple different reasons. I won't get too deep into that unless you guys really want to. But yeah, I think email is one of those things that, you know, I even know people that kind of wear the, I've got 10,000 unread emails in my email box is kind of this badge of honor. Like, I've got more emails than anybody else. And I get it, right? You know, it is what it is. But I think that email is definitely one of those things that we've got to manage. I kind of then come back at the folks that have the 10,000 unread emails and show them my email box that has no emails in it. You know, and it's funny because, you know, people are like, oh, inbox zero, you know, this mythical thing that nobody can get to. And I'm like, no, I do it all the time. It's not that. And that's the interesting part. People think inbox zero means that you should have zero emails in your inbox. I've got inside of my email system, I mean, there's probably 50 some odd thousand emails floating around in there over the course of time. But how you choose to manage those emails is what Inbox Zero is all about. And Inbox Zero, when it was created, the gentleman who kind of first brought out that idea, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head here, but people took it too literally. His intention wasn't to say that you should have zero emails in your inbox. His intention was to say you should spend zero time, zero brain power time trying to sort and manage it, that you should have a system for dealing with your emails very quickly. And so, you know, for me, you know, but I do enjoy getting the inbox down to zero. But again, it's not that I just have spend my entire life inside of emails. I actually only check them 3 times a day, and still get them down to inbox zero. It just took this intention on my part. You know, I unsubscribed from everything that I could, like, because at first I'm like, oh, well, I might need that, unless I can actually use it and have that be something that's useful for me in the moment. There's zero reason for me to be on that email list. You know, if it's, oh, well, you know, maybe I want to get the coupon. Guess what? Unless it's an email only coupon, then you're going to be able to find that coupon on their social media, you know, or whatever. And even then, this, the stuff that I want to keep for coupons, I don't actually have it hit my inbox. I've set up a rule inside my email where it just skips the inbox and automatically goes to another folder somewhere else. And if I, you know, need to go get the Kohl's coupon, right? Which there's always one somewhere. So you don't necessarily need to do that. But all I got to do is just search. You know, I use Gmail. All email clients have a fantastic search function. So I just search for what I need. And instead of then having to deal with that email inside of my inbox, it's automatically dealt with, or I've unsubscribed. And so the stuff that comes in, you know, before I started this process, Terry, I was getting somewhere north of 500 plus emails a day. Now I'm getting 50 emails a day, and that's a busy day, but 50 emails that are important, that, you know, are of value to me and are people that I want to be interacting with, or need to be interacting with, you know, from members of our success group, or, you know, you and Eric, and that kind of stuff. So I think inbox zero is kind of my strategy, but I also want to make sure that people don't think that inbox zero means you have to have your inbox at zero. It just means that you need to have an automated system that you're not, you know, spending a bunch of time managing your emails all the time. So, right. Terry, what about you?
Well, a couple of things. I think one problem that people have with email, the people that have that, you know, 50, 100, 1,000 emails, is because they'll look at an email and say, well, I don't want to deal with this right now.
Yeah.
And you have to make decisions on things. Don't. And so it keeps getting pushed forward and pushed forward. You know, if you pushed it forward a couple of times, then either do something with it or delete it. You know, yeah. Obviously are not going to deal with it. And my second comment on emails is, you know, keep it brief and to the point. When I open an email, that if I printed it out, it's going to go 2 pages. I'm like, come on, you know, this is.
I'm sorry about that, Terry.
It's just, you know, it's a task, and you look at it going, holy crap, this is going to take me 30 minutes to respond to. And sometimes I do push those forward, but, you know, keep it quick and to the point. One of my brothers always complained. He said, you know, you get this email exchange going back and forth, and the very last one is thank you. You don't have to thank me. Don't send me another email.
Yeah, no, that is a good point. I tend to be somewhat verbose at times on those things, but yeah, realizing that, keep it short and sweet. If you don't need to send it, don't send it, right? You know, the thank you or whatever. But, you know, at the same time, if you have a system, right, then it is what it is. It just comes in and comes out, you know.
I do the same thing. I have category files that, yeah, I want to hold on to this because it has some valuable information that I don't need right now, but I'm going to need later. So I'll drop it into a folder on that subject, and then I can just go back, and I'm not digging through you know, pages of already read emails. They're all in that folder. Everything that's related to this topic is in that folder. So,
yeah, I'm sure the Aaron folder is pretty large. Sorry about that. all right. No, so we definitely, one other quick note on that, Terry, is, interestingly enough, like I said, I only check emails 3 times a day and, I don't have, so I've got an email, on my phone. I do have where I can check my email, and occasionally I will just go in there to just kind of quote unquote what I call triage, you know, get move some things around. But I don't actually have it automatically downloaded on my phone. I never get notifications of emails on my phone. Because again, I want to manage it. I don't want it to manage me.
Right.
And therefore, so I can check it on my phone, but I don't have it to where my phone is getting these emails. I'm getting these notifications, having the little, you know, red with 10,000 next to it kind of thing. I just don't want that stuff. So again, managing that, couple comments in here. Good ones. Dale says, control your spam by using multiple accounts to segregate your tasks. I think that's an interesting idea. I've got way too many emails, but I don't have too many emails because of that, because that becomes a bit of a challenge to me, because then you're kind of going back and forth and you know, something there. So I do actually have a lot of different email addresses, but I have them all come into one location. But you can use that email address for sure. Dale's point, I think, is really good. Like, you know, if you have to put your email address in to, you know, download the thing, right, and you know you're going to get quote unquote spam after that, and you're not really interested in it, then yeah, have that one email address that you use. You know, I've got my really old Yahoo email that I've never checked. And I can't remember last time I actually checked it, but there will be times where, like, okay, I'm going to put the information in if I need to do this to download, you know, and then use the Yahoo one. So that's a good point, Dale. Gusta says email got me to Outlook, and that's the hub of my life. It's the planner. I email myself to remember things. So again, using email as a system, and we'll talk more about that here in a second too. And then Dale, this is, I think, really sums up my thought on this too, Terry, but to either deal with it or calendar it, like you said, move it along or deal with it. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you know, and Aaron, you're right. If you cannot keep your eyes off your email, your email is controlling your day. The email is controlling your schedule.
Yeah.
So I admire your 3 times a day. You know, for me, I do get a lot of communications from customers, so I do kind of keep an eye on it, but yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Terry. Finish with your thoughts.
No, I was just going to say, but I don't let it master my day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No. And I think that's the key. And that's the other thing here, Terry. There's all sorts of different articles you can go read out there. You know, I've seen, especially some of the younger generations of millennials and whatnot, just want to get rid of email altogether. You know, it's the scourge of the earth. And, you know,
they want to get a text.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to get a text or the Slack message or whatever. Right. But here's the deal. You know, a lot of those people are like these freelance writers, and so they don't have, you know, the customers and customer service needs. And, you know, in the business that we're in here, we do need to be responsive to our emails. You know, I've got it down to 3 times a day because I do also, you know, like I said, I'm doing email 3 times a day, but that doesn't mean that, you know, there's not a, like I said, a triage here and there. You know, I do have some different things. So, I've got it set to where important messages from our success group members, you know, I do see those more quickly and can deal with that. So yeah, it's not about, again, getting rid of it, you know, wherever you're at, whatever your job is, you know, Terry, with what you do, yes, you do need to be responsive to your potential customers or your customers a little more regularly. But like you said, you're not letting it manage you. You're still managing it.
Right. Exactly. Right.
All right. Well, let's keep moving. So we're kind of manage our time here, Terry.
let's talk about other communication methods. Let's talk about, you know, I was just saying text messages, social media, direct messages, all those different methods of communicating. How do you deal with those?
Yes. And I think that's the funny part, you know, people want to get rid of email, and then, but the alternative is all of these other places, right? You get the Instagram direct message, you get the Facebook message, you get somebody tagging you on Facebook, you get a text message. You get maybe you're on Slack and you get a Slack message. We've created all of these other things to quote unquote eliminate email. But yet I think that they're worse because you can't manage them. At least with an email, I can then manage it, right? I can put it into a calendar. I can do. So I think we have to look at those things in the same light, right? The other challenge with those types of things is people expect a even faster reaction than they expect from emails.
Yeah.
So you do have to kind of, again, it comes up with managing that. So, you know, autoresponders, maybe things like that. Trying to filter people to whatever it is that your system is. But here's the trick. You have to have a system. You have to have a way to capture this. So all of this stuff coming in, right? We've got all these different pieces everywhere, right? I need to get it down into something that I can manage and keep my arms around. So I think the real tip here, Terry, is just to have a system, right? It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So if you get an order on social media, make sure that if you're not going to be able to deal with that as an order, you have a way to respond to that. Say, cool, really appreciate the order. Just so we make sure that we get everything right. You know, if you can go to my website here, put in this information, you know, request a quote, whatever the case may be, however your system works, but you got to have that system. You got to have that way to direct people. For me, because I'm not getting people to place orders with me necessarily, I typically am looking like, okay, cool, that's great. And here's what the situation is. Maybe that's going to take a little bit more than I can just respond to here. So could you potentially send me an email so that way I can get it? And then from there, then I get it into my project management system. I use Asana, but you know, there's lots of different things out there. So that to me is the way to deal with that. What about you, Terry? I know I've sent you Hangouts messages, text messages, you know, phone calls, emails. How do you deal with all that?
Well, you know, here's my favorite message. It just says, sent you an email. Really? You're sending me a message to tell me that you emailed me?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not from you. but you know, here's one thing I do like about all this, though. Sometimes I don't necessarily want to pick up the phone and go through the pleasantries on the phone. So how you been doing? Hey, here's my question. It is nice to be able to just bam, ask a question, keep moving, you know, and as we all know, millennials, 86%, I think this came from you, Aaron, 86% of millennials have to work up the courage to make a phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually was from the ThreatX presentation by Jay Baer.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I love quoting that. That is definitely one of my, because I must be a millennial. I hate phone calls. So how about that?
You know, it just takes up so much of your time, and it's so much easier to send a message. But, you know, some people are very old school and they don't understand. Well, just call them. And well, you know, here's a good example. Equipment Zone has a live chat, and early on in that, having that live chat, sorry, Harry, if you're listening, Harry would always put a message in there that said, well, give me your phone number, I'll give you a call, and they would log off. And I had to explain, the reason they're on the live chat is because they didn't want to call. Do not, correct. You know, don't scare them away by saying, I'm going to call you.
Yeah. I'm right there with folks like that. Like, yeah, if I go to, if I go to somebody's website and I get on their live chat or whatever, and it's, you know, they want to have a phone call. It's like, nah, okay, it's not worth my time here. Right. Why do you have live chat then?
Yeah. I literally just had this one question.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Let's just part friends.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. All right. Well, let's get a couple of the comments from the regulators here. Cindy says, my husband will say, remind me of something for tomorrow at home in the evening. So I just pop an email over to the shop. So there you go. You've got, yeah. But I think the other thing people don't realize all the time, and Cindy probably does, but just in general, I think people can sometimes forget that that's a system, right? You've got a system. Okay. How do I remember something? And what happens for a lot of people where they struggle with time management is their system is, well, today I'm going to write it in this notebook. Tomorrow I'm going to write it on the sticky note. You know, later today, I'm going to make a random note on the back of some paper. And then later today, I'm going to text myself. And then I think that's what it all boils down to. All of this stuff, you've got all this stuff coming in and you've got to have a system to get it all into one place that then you can wrap your arms around it. You know, so yeah. So I think that's to me the biggest point that we can make here. Let's see here. A couple other comments. Dale says direct messages pin you down. You're dealing with things on their time, not your time. Again, another reason why I love emails over phone calls. A phone call to me is an interruption, right? If I'm trying to have focus time and my phone starts ringing, it's like,
right.
Yeah. And I actually had to have this conversation with my dad, and he was like, wow, I just wanted to pick up the phone. I'm like, I know, Dad, I get it. I love you. I want to talk to you on the phone too, but here's the deal. I've got to get these things done. And if I don't manage my time, I'm not retired. So, all right, let's see what else. Well, let's get a couple more comments here, Terry, if that's okay.
Sure.
Jeff says, I prefer phone to text. I guess that makes me old. Yeah. It does make you old. It's a preference though. Absolutely. Oh, you know, yeah. I know that my idea, the fact that I love email is typically in the minority. I know a lot of people that say, hey, pick up the phone. In fact, you guys were talking with Chris last week. You and Eric got to talk with Chris last week, and he gave a five things. And one of the things that he mentioned inside of there was pick up the phone. Okay. Yeah. And that's everybody's got to have their own preference, and that's okay that we're all different there. So,
well, you know, Aaron, and speaking of sales, I want to have a phone conversation with you. I want to build a rapport with you. I want to start a relationship with you over the phone. But as we continue to communicate, you know, it's a lot easier to answer those three questions that you have by sending a message rather than, you know, trying to connect up on the phone. And hey, it's some, you know, I deal with a lot of folks who are running production. It's hard to get a production person on the phone because the chances are they're out on the floor. And yeah, the last thing they want to do is walk back to the office to take a phone call. So,
yeah, exactly. Now, all really good points. I mean, and, you know, I've gotten to the point where, okay, if somebody really wants to talk to me on the phone, I'm going to at least put it into my arena here. You know, this arena, it's like, okay, let's schedule a Zoom call. If you really want to get on the phone, get on a camera. Okay. How about that? So again, make your system your system. All right. Couple more and time management, Terry, I'm not doing so good here.
I think we can wrap all this in 7 minutes.
Okay. We can do it. All right. Christine says, I have multiple email addresses, but I'm like Aaron and all of the emails go to one place. Then I sort things into folders so I can find things later. It does take some management, but it works for me. So I guess I'm kind of a hybrid of both Terry and Aaron's method. There you go. And again, yes, at the end of the day, that's the other point that I hope people take from this is my method, Terry's method, whatever some time management guru person set out there, none of those things will be the end all be all solve all for you. I think you should take little bits and pieces from everything that you hear and make a system that works for you. You know, I've created my own folder here. You know, this is my time management system right here. And I've created that over the course of, you know, I mean, I got interested in time management when I was a teenager. So, you know, this is an evolution of, I'm not going to say how old I am, but lots of years. All right. Well,
and you know, Aaron, here's another thing. If you don't have a system, then things can slide between the cracks and you didn't respond to that person that important. The thing that you, in your mind, you think, oh, I'm going to remember that. And then the next day you're like, what were we going to talk about? I don't remember. But if you have a system, you're also not leaving people behind or letting people down by not having a system. And add to that, waking up in the middle of the night going, oh, did I answer that question? Did I call that person back?
I'm
all about being able to sleep at night.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a really good point. And even folks that, you know, are really good at remembering things, oh, I've got a great memory. Well, even if you've got a great memory, why waste that brain power, that creativity, that energy, that brain energy on remembering a small task? You know, I've got to get this. Like Terry said, you know, that there's so many opportunities inside of everything. And if we can, you know, get our arms around it and manage it and yes, know what you're talking about, and then not have to wake up in the middle of the night going, oh crap, you know, and I have that, you know, I have those moments, and that's the sign for me that, you know what, I got to get back on top of this. I've let it slide too much, you know, so use those things. All right. Brian says, I'm blessed to have Eric and Lisa who are on social and they filter out what I need to see, sort emails all the time, but ignore it when you're trying to get something done. My wife frequently asks, how would you say this? I say, quit texting and use the phone in your hand for the intended purpose. There you go. So,
wait, what? It's not for texting?
Yeah. I you could turn off the call feature on my phone and it would, I just have a little mini computer here. I do not have a phone. So I'm the opposite of that. But at the same time, a text message is a text message. My wife and I have this conversation all the time too. She's such a sweet, nice person that, you know, I always tease her about the novels she writes on text and I get it. That's who her personality is. But to me, it's like, it's a text message. Get to the point, get it done, get, you know, don't beat around the bush. Don't, what do you want to say? Say it and be done. So,
right.
That's a whole different story right there. And then Cindy says, what's your number, Aaron? I'll give you a call right now. So interestingly enough, you know, nowadays you can pretty much keep the same number, you know, port it from one company to the next and stuff like that. I still, every so often, every couple of years, still just change my number. It's like the people that I want to talk to, I reach out to them.
Yeah.
And things, you know, when things change in my life, it's time to change my number.
So. Well, you know, Aaron, it used to be that you could look at a phone number for a client and know where they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely not anymore. In fact, I was just talking to a gentleman yesterday and his number pops up as an Oregon area code, but he lives in Phoenix. My son, Chris, who lives in Manhattan, he still has his Kansas phone number that he had from high school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can't look at that and say, oh, so you're in Kansas. No, New York City.
All right. Well, let's keep going here, Terry. What's next?
All right. Well, so Aaron, we've got all of our categories. We've got long lists of to-dos. When do we do? What do we do next?
Yeah, exactly. What do we do next? And this is where the real rubber hits the road here, Terry, because this whole concept of time management is actually a myth. It's not time management. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. It's priority management is what this all really boils down to. You've got this big long list of hundreds of thousands of things to do. Most of it put on you by somebody else's priorities, typically. And this is where, like I said, the rubber really meets the road. It's you, the next part of your system here has to be a way to prioritize, a way to say, you know, one of my favorite prioritization methods is right back up there. You can probably can't really see it, but it's the four quadrants from Seven Habits. It's this, you know, urgent and important, urgent and not important. It's important, but not urgent. And then not urgent and not important. Right. And so you can go look that up. Seven habits, the four quadrants of time management there, but basically just a way to go, okay, urgent and important. I need to manage those things. I need to make sure that I am not doing things that brings more of that into my world. That's normally where, you know, something I've just got to do. And so it's more about managing it. The things that are important, but not urgent, you know, these are the big picture things. These are the, you know, planning, the process, creating the building relationships, the things that are really important for your business and for yourself, but they're not like, I don't have a due date of getting that done right now here today. Right. So I need to be able to focus on those things, find time to actually focus on those things and going from there. So that's the first thing you got to prioritize. And you got to try to automate as much as you can. In today's world, we've got to automate stuff. So from, responders to the, this, that, and the other thing. And then I guess the next piece is, and I think I can't remember where I saw this in one of the comments, but well, it was Dale talking about calendaring, is do dump or delegate. You know, you've said this before here, Terry, as we've been talking about this, we got to get to the do part. You know, let's just get something done. And I think that's another area that I've found myself getting bogged down in a lot. And I know a lot of other people get bogged down in is, you know, I've spent so much time building systems. I had times in my life where I would like, I'd get something done. And then because of that satisfaction that I wanted from getting it checked off my list, that I would go and write it on my list just to check it off. Right. So you do also have to get over yourself and get into that. Let's get things done. And go from there. So what about you, Terry? What's your process there?
Well, yeah, I'm like you. I do make lists and I will reevaluate something that I have moved forward on my list multiple times, because, you know, a lot of us, get caught up in crisis management of our businesses and of our time. And you do need to block out, you know, maybe it's Monday morning for 2 hours. You turn off your phone and spend time thinking about how to improve your business. Or we kind of neglect some of the important things because we're over here running and trying to put out fires. I guess make your list, and as you said, prioritize. And if you've moved that thing across to the next page and the next page and the next page, maybe you need to reevaluate how important it really is to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually, Terry, that's been one of the pieces that you've said that somewhere along the line here over the last year or so, that whole idea of if you keep moving things forward, that, you know, at what point do you need it? Because I didn't realize I was doing that. You know, I had certain things that I'd been moving forward for years, it's felt like. And I finally got brave enough to just get rid of it, you know, just take it off. Yeah. Instead of keep moving the date forward, I just took the date off of it. It's still buried somewhere back in my project management system. So, you know, if things do change someday, but at the same time, I stopped thinking about it. So it
exactly. Is it kind of a relief when you say, you know what, I'm not moving it forward anymore. I'm done with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All those great ideas that you're never going to get to. Right. But that's just it. If you have a system, if you do these things and then you know, put these things in place, you know, what's the rule? You know, if you moved it forward, I think you said five times, I think that's what I went with. If I've moved this forward more than five times, I just get rid of it, you know? So that's where it comes down to doing it. Do the things, get them done, move them forward. And then at a certain point, just get rid of them. So,
yeah, you think, but it's important. I need to do this, but it's obviously not important enough for you to do it. So
correct.
Right. Well, let's wrap up here with, what do you say to those folks who are completely overwhelmed and frozen in time? I'm just sitting here staring at my computer screen. I don't know what to do next. So I'll do nothing but stare at my list. What do you say to those folks?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a tough place, right? I mean, you know, heck, we're just getting into summer here. So, you know, we've got new things to deal with. You know, maybe the kids are back at home. If you were fortunate enough to have your kids go off to school. And so now you've got new things coming, and it just feels, you know, business is starting to pick back up for a lot of folks right now. So they're feeling busy there. And so I hear it all the time. I see it all the time. Heck, I even have moments in my time where it's like, oh crap, how am I going to do all this? Right. But right. I have to just remember, we have to just remember that at the end of the day, it comes down to priority management. It comes down to, okay, what's important? You know, do you have that big goal? Do you have that vision of what success is for you? Because that's the first point. If you don't have that, then yes, you will always be overwhelmed just trying to figure out the next thing. You know, what should I try next? But if you've got that big goal, then you can priority manage your priorities, because you can kind of basically weigh things against your big vision, your big goal. Should I do this? Well, I don't know if I don't know if it's going to, but if you can answer the question, will this get me closer to my goal, or will this serve my why or my purpose? You know, those kinds of things. Then we can more quickly make decisions about doing this thing or not. And that'll help us get into, like you said, that state of action. We just need to be doing. And in fact, Ramona here, I actually use this inside of the training on Wednesday night. It does come down to that. To eat an elephant, you take one bite at a time. When it seems too large, just take that little first step, you know? So if your goal is to, you know, or if your task is to completely revamp your production layout, you know, you look at that and you go, oh crap, that's a big job, you know, or maybe your inventory area needs to be organized, and you look at it and you go, oh my God, how am I going to get this done? Well, the sooner you can go from, oh my God, how am I going to get this done, to, okay, what's the first thing that I can do? Right. Let's pick up this first box. And again, that, how do you eat an elephant? I wish there was a better saying than eat an elephant, Terry. I just don't understand why you'd want to eat an elephant. I enjoy, I think elephants are amazing animals, so I'm not going to eat an elephant, but anyways,
probably chewy.
Yeah, probably chewy. But the whole concept is, yes, if you have something on your plate that's so large, the best thing to do is just get into what's the very first thing that you can do. You know, maybe you're so overwhelmed that you can't keep control of your tasks. The first thing you need to do is, okay, I need to come up with a system, or I need to, you know, make a decision that here's what I'm going to do, that take that first step. And just, it's the concept of lean into it. If you've heard of that, it you know, you may not know everything that you need to do, but that doesn't matter. That part really is insignificant to the grand scheme of things. All you need to do is the first thing. And then right. You're moving forward. So
I think you're right. But you're picking up that first box, and then it's like a boulder rolling down a hill. Then you pick up momentum, and hey, I'm getting this done. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, at the other side of this, Terry, that people don't realize a lot, that you know, when you're struggling, it is a mindset thing. You know, we want to, you know, have like specific tasks and nuts and bolts and whatnot. But at the end of the day, successful time managers, it really does come down to the mindset that they're able to carry. They work on trying to make sure that they're in the right mindset, that they understand when they're productive and when they're not. They understand that, you know, the feelings that we have, they're there for a reason. But we also have to remember that the feelings that we have don't have to control us. They are choices. They're come from a belief that we have about a future outcome. So if you feel overwhelmed, it's because you believe that you're unable to get that project done, or you're unable to get everything done, or to get all of your life managed. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you feel that way, you're a bad person, or you should just buck up, camper, you know, that's not what we're saying, what I'm saying here at all. What I'm saying is that if you can start to realize that you actually have that choice, and that you're responsible for your outcomes, then you can start saying things like, okay, I know I feel overwhelmed right now, but I believe in myself. And so I'm going to be brave enough. I'm going to believe in myself enough to take that first action and just see how it comes. So I guess that mindset is the other big piece for me, Terry. So what about you?
Well, yeah. And I agree. You know, one thing that I like to do is I set deadlines on getting things done. And for instance, yeah. On Fridays, if I have any backlog of emails, I will go through each one and make a decision about it. And so that I have that empty email going into the weekend. And because, you know, it's easy. You're busy during the week, and you get that email that, you know, that's going to take me some time. And so push it off a little bit. So That's kind of the way I approach it. You know, every Friday I clear out all my emails. So
there you go. And so you've got that system. That's perfect. I love it. Brian says the chicken wings get eaten one ranch dip at a time. There you go. You know what that reminded me of, Terry? Remember when we were in Atlantic City and we went to that one place and we asked for they had 3 dozen wings on the menu, and we asked for 3 dozen wings. And she must have thought that was just an overwhelming amount of wings. I'll let you finish that story.
Well, yeah. She goes, you want the 3 dozen just for the two of you? Do you know how many that is? And I said, is it 36? And she goes, yeah, that's what we want.
yeah. She was overwhelmed by how many wings there were in front of us. But Terry and I looked at it as, you know, as Brian just said, one ranch, or in Terry's case, blue cheese dip at a time. And we were going to get through it. And we got through 36 wings. That was our dinner. All right. Come on.
I think we know our way around a chicken wing. We know what we're ordering here. It's on the menu. Come on. That's right.
All right. Well, Terry, so we've really just kind of scratched the surface of this, basically the system that I talked about inside of our success group. And so we had a full training on this last Wednesday night. So I really appreciate you letting me continue to talk about this topic that I just love. So if people are interested in more, they can actually look to become a member over at our success group. And when you're a member, you get all of the upcoming live trainings. Plus you get access to all of the past trainings that we've done. I think we're getting close to the 40s by now, where we're at. I think there's about 40 in there. So if you'll just head to oursuccessgroup.com/membership, or Eric has the bit.ly link up on the screen as well, bit.ly/OSG member. And you can check that out. But Terry, I've got one last question to wrap this up. I appreciate your insights throughout this and getting the feedback there. But as a fellow time management nerd, I felt like I needed to ask you a question as well. So I want to know, what is your number one tip for time management?
I would say that if you have a lot of clutter, then gather all the clutter, make a list, prioritize that list, and then start in on it. But when I walk into someone's office and it's covered in papers and stacks of this and that, it makes me crazy. Somebody comes into my office and they'll see my desk is completely clear. And some people think if your desk is clear, that means you obviously don't have anything to do. No, I sort through it. I make a list. I go on. It's all here on my junior yellow legal pad, and I will actually number the things that I have to deal with 1 through 10 or 12 or whatever. So that's my advice: clear the clutter, make a list, so you can wrap your head around it. Yeah. How about you? Yeah. What's your time management number one tip?
Yeah.
Or have you been doing it all along here?
No, I like what you said there. I think what you talked about, and I think you mentioned it earlier too, on Fridays, you will kind of, you know, get your arms around any loose ends. And I think that's the number one thing is just have that system that works for you. And then just make sure that you're really rigid about it, right? You hold on to that. The times when I've struggled the most with time management have been the times where I've kind of been a little loose with what my system was. And so I kind of got to a point where for me, it was, I wanted to plan my week on Sundays. And I just said, okay, well, Sunday afternoon would be the perfect time to do that. And so that was kind of what my schedule was. But what I discovered was, you know, Sunday afternoon, that's getting towards the end of the weekend, you know, maybe I've done some yard works, had some family time, maybe got caught up on some other, you know, so weekends aren't always that relaxing getaway opportunity. And what I was finding is that I was actually exhausted on Sunday afternoons. And so I would go, okay, it's the time that I'm supposed to do my planning. But I'd rather just sit here on the couch and relax and watch TV. So when I changed to saying, okay, Sunday morning when I wake up, before I get exhausted from whatever I've done that day, that's when I'm going to plan my week. And when I can do that and just hold firm to that and be no questions about that, then I think that really has made a huge difference for me. And I think that would be the number one thing. Just have your system and don't let whatever the excuse may be, you know, you got a trip, somebody's in town, kids, this or that. No excuses. Just hold true to that. So
yeah,
that's my tip.
And you know, Aaron, when you're talking about just sitting and relaxing, you do need to take that time for yourself. You can't be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You need that break. And when you're taking that break, watch Emily in Paris, and and
there you go.
And look at social media from a different angle.
There you go. I like it. Tied it all back together.
Yeah. Little bow.
Yeah. Brian says, clear desk here, but I have a bound notebook where I put everything I'm thinking about or need to tackle. Yeah. So just again, it's just everybody's got their own system. I don't believe that there's one system that you should follow. I think everybody has to take bits and pieces from the different things that they learn and really just take the time to find out what works for you. Everybody's going to be different, and everybody, you know, Terry's got the junior yellow Legu pad. You know, I do find myself writing random notes from time to time, but I've got a system to then get them into my Asana tool or that I use. So, all right, Terry. Time management. Oh, look at us. We're only slightly into bonus time so far. So speaking of Brian and his clear desk, Brian was kind enough to send us five things. We really appreciate that. We've got a couple actually coming up. We've got another one next week from a listener as well. So thank you for sending that over. Who's next week, Terry? I forgot. Do you remember off the top of your head?
I don't.
We filed it away. We prioritized it. We know where it's going to be, and we just filed it away.
I think it's already in next week's outline that we already have ready to rock and roll with. But I'm actually pulling up that outline right this second.
Okay. All right. Well, while you do that, let's Eric, would you bring us into five things here, and I'll share Brian's five things with us.
By the way, it's Dave.
We'll get to that in 1 second, Terry. Hang tight. All right. So five things from Brian and Brilliance by Brighton Leap. It's five things to do every day. Do one thing to develop your business, even if it's just handing out a business card. Yep, that's perfect. Number two, do one thing for yourself. Find some beauty in the world. Take a moment and relax, breathe, bike to work, hit the gym, or maybe just don't inhale. There you go. Number three, do one thing for someone else, looking for nothing in return. I think that's a great point. Do one thing for somebody else, looking for nothing in return is number three. Number four, do one thing to lend closure to the past, even if that means finally getting old invoices out. Perfect. Love it. And last but not least, number five, clear out your inbox. Timely given today's topic. So thank you very much, Brian. What a great five things. Thank you for sharing that. Again, if you guys want to share five things, just reach out to us, info@2regularguys. You can send us a list that we can read like this. You could record a video of yourself doing it. You could record audio of yourself listing the five things, but we'd love to have your five things. And Terry, next week's five things is from
Dale with Blackbird Studio, who's here with us today.
Awesome. Yeah. So Dale, we'll get to your five things next. We appreciate that. And again, yeah, send those in. Christine sent us some in. We've had our guests bring in five things like Chris did last week. So again, it doesn't have to be. I loved Chris's last week. It had nothing to do with the topic he was talking about. And he just brought in five things. So yes, we just want five things that make people think and maybe start a conversation. So,
and you know, Brian's five things here, it really encapsulates what we've been talking about for the last hour. Do one thing, you know?
Yeah. I love it. Yep. There we go. Wraps it up nicely for us. All right, Terry, what's coming up for you?
Okay. My complete screen printing business course with Workhorse Products is going to be, that's here in Phoenix, is going to be July 10th and 11th. These classes do sell out, especially with things just getting moving again, people coming from all over the country to these events. My next class at Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago will be August 21st and 22nd. The following week, I'm going to be back in Chicago, Aaron. I'm going to be at DAX. I don't know if you know this already.
I just saw this. Yeah.
So on Friday, the August 27th, I'll be doing a half-day seminar entitled, Am I Doing This Right? Pro tips for screen printing, screen printing success. And it's part of it's going to be hands-on. Everybody's going to print a shirt and really looking forward to that. That's something that, Scott Ritter and myself have been working out for the last couple of days. And, cool. Yeah. So excited to do that. And the folks at Atlas Screen Supply are going to bring over equipment for me to use, and it's going to be cool. And, so all my upcoming events, except for that one, because I don't have it in there yet, you can find at terrycombs.com. Under the tab tour dates. How about you, Aaron?
That's awesome. I'm excited that you're going to be there in Chicago. Do you know when are you coming in? All that stuff. You just let me know. We'll figure it out. We're definitely trying to do something fun there at Tinley Park for our success group too. That was
cool.
The start of it. Our 300th episode celebration there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I guess it was a couple of years ago now, right? Cause it didn't happen last year.
It was just you and Eric. I had already gone.
Yeah. You would kind of,
that was in my in town 24 hours or less period.
Yeah, exactly.
For all those events.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. Eric's going to be at the DAX shows as well. So, and then for me, Terry, speaking of the DAX shows, our success group is actually exhibiting at all three of the DAX shows. So next up will be DAX Kansas City, happening on July 9th and 10th. You can find us in booth 218. We'll have a setup to do some podcasting and any Two Rare Guys stuff that we might be able to do, or interviews. I'll probably do a Small Business Saturday type programs. Probably also going to be kind of presenting some short webinars, just kind of giving people a feel for what our success group and the decorators community is all about. Talking about goal setting, launching and growing your business, some things like that. And you'll be able to come sit on the blow up couch. They'll be there for sure. And potentially some other fun inflatables. I have not figured that out yet, but
before you sit down, remember how difficult it's going to be to stand back up again. I'm just going to tell you.
There is that.
Had to roll out of that couch.
We did have, me included. Yes. We did have to warn some people about that. So anyhow, that's coming up July 9th and 10th. So looking forward to seeing everybody out live. That'll probably be my first time to be back out live and in person. So I'm excited for that. Not too long after that, I'll be heading to the Appliqué Getaway July 23rd through the 25th. And I'm going to be teaching two classes there. On Friday, I'm going to be talking about going from hobby to business, the 5 keys to success. And then on Saturday, the 24th, I'm teaching one of my favorite classes to teach, Conquering Fear and Live to Tell About It. So we'll talk about actually some of the concepts we talked about today even. So to sign up for that and for more information on this event, it's a live in-person event, but they do also have some virtual options for folks that can't make it. So go over and check out appliquegetaway.com. And there's also a Bitly link that you can get to much quicker there on the bottom of the screen if you're watching the video version of this. But appliquegetaway.com, Terry's favorite show name.
It is indeed. I love it.
Coming up in 8 minutes, Eric and I will be doing the half. Thank you so much for sitting in for me last week, Terry. It was one of the best halves that happened so far. So we'll see how I do, if I can come back, and looking forward to doing that with Eric. You can check that out over at liveosg.com, which gets you to the Our Success Group YouTube channel. Or if you're over there on YouTube, just search for Eric Campbell, E-R-I-C-H Campbell. And if you're a Facebook person, you can check it out at facebook.com/ Our Success Group Pro. Or again, if you're on Facebook, you can just search for Eric Campbell, E-R-I-C-H Campbell, and you can find it in all four of those locations. So that's coming up now in 7 minutes, Terry. So there we go. And then finally for Eric real quick here, 2:30 Mountain Time, he's got the take up. Today's episode, he'll be discussing some of the finer points of when and when not to use negative space in embroidery, the way complex shapes with holes were and made in digitizing software, and what comes of the process. Recap how to split up shapes to create negative space, and give some examples of how and why to use top stitching in your machine embroidery where you print art shows a knockout shape. So if you'll head over to ericcampbell.com and the tab at the top labeled the take up will get you all the information that you need for that. And make sure to check that out. The reciprocators, who are the folks that watch the take up over there, we have it out sometimes with the regulators, but it's all in good, clean fun. So. All right. So let's see what else Eric's got coming up here. He's going to be teaching at the DAX shows all through Kansas City, Minnesota, and Chicagoland. And his work will be elevating your embroidery digitized that DAX show. And all questions expo worth teaching. Threads, Design, Digitizing, and he'll also be appearing on the Element of Excellence, which is how I'm going to say. So more information for that can be found at impressionsexpo.com. So, all right, Terry. Well, we've come to the close of another show here. It's been a blast covering a topic that you and I are both very passionate about, and I always love doing that. So thanks for that opportunity and all the great information. And thanks to all the regulators for all of their feedback and participation in today's show as well.
Absolutely. And we also want to thank our show producer, Eric Campbell, for keeping the gears greased and us running smoothly every week.
Yes. He does a fantastic job. We really appreciate it, Eric. Terry, next week, we're going to be welcoming in Christine Shreve and Lindsay Salcedo from the Applique Getaway. And they're going to talk about banishing the divide, the commercial and home industry divide, and how that continues to get grayer and grayer and why we need to banish that. Plus, we'll learn a little more about Applique Getaway. So looking forward to having Christine back. It's been a little while since we've had her on the show. And Lindsay's been on the show before too, but I think this will be, it's been quite a while for her as well. So having them both back on the show, love talking to them and can't wait to learn more about banishing that divide. So excited for that.
I'm just going to keep repeating the phrase Applique Getaway during that show because I just like the way it sounds.
It does sound good. It just rolls off the tongue nicely. Yeah,
it does indeed. All right. Until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the Two Regular Guys.
Here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.